Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada ki, Anantikoti Vaishnavrinda ki, Namachari Srila Haridas Thakur ki, Premsakaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Shri Gaura Bhaktivrinda ki, Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan ki, Praja Bhumi Shri Vrindavandam ki, Shri Navadvip Mayapur Dham ki, Ganga Maya ki, Jamuna Maya ki, Tosi Devi ki, Bhakti Devi ki, Samaveda Bhakti Vrinda ki. All glories to the similar devotees. All glories to the similar devotees. All glories to the similar devotees. Go Pevanandi. Before I begin speaking, I'd like to ask the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas, specifically the God brothers and God sisters of my spiritual master. It is only by your mercy and your good wishes that I'm able to see something of sense for the inspiration of you all. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo
Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Today we're reading from the 4th canto, chapter 17, texts 29 and 30. Text 30 is on the board, so I'll do text 29 and then we can do text 30 together. Garo Vacha Nam. Namaparasmapurushamaya vinyasta nanatana vegunatmane namasarupa nabhavena nirduta dravya kriya karaka vibra mormaye. The earth spoke, "My dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, you are transcendental in your position, and by your material energy you have expanded yourself in various forms and species of life through the interaction of the three modes of material nature. Unlike some other masters, you always remain in your transcendental position and are not affected by the material creation, which is subject to different material interactions. Consequently, you are not bewildered by material activities." Purport. After King Prithu gave his royal command, the planet Earth, in the shape of a cow, could understand that the king was a directly empowered incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Consequently, the king knew everything, past, present, and future. Thus, there was no possibility of the earth's cheating him. The earth was accused of hiding the seeds of all herbs and grains, and therefore she is preparing to explain how the seeds of these herbs and grains can again be exposed. The earth knew that the king was very angry with her, and she realized that unless she pacified his anger, there was no possibility of placing a positive program before him. Therefore, in the beginning of her speech, she very humbly presents herself as a part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's body. She submits that the various bodily forms manifest in the physical world are but different parts and parcels of the Supreme Gigantic Body. It is said that the lower planetary systems are the parts and parcels of the legs of the Lord, whereas the upper planetary systems are parts and parcels of the Lord's head. The Lord creates this material world by His external energy, but this external energy is in one sense not different from Him. Yet at the same time, the Lord is not directly manifest in the external energy, but is always situated in the spiritual energy. As such, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita 9.10, Maya Vyakshena Prakriti, material nature is working under the direction of the Lord. Therefore the Lord is not unattached to the external energy. And He is addressed in this verse as Guna Atma, the source of the three modes of material nature. as stated in the Bhagavad Gita 13:15, Nirgunam Gunabhoktri Cha. Although the Lord is not attached to the external energy, He is nonetheless the master of it. The philosophy of Lord Chaitanya, upholding that the Lord is simultaneously one with and different from His creation, Achintya Bheda Abheda Tattva, is very easily understandable in this connection. The planet Earth explains that although the Lord is attached to the external energy, He is Nirdutam. He is completely free from the activities of the external energy. The Lord is always situated in His internal energy. Therefore, in this verse it is said, Swarupa Anubhavena. The Lord remains completely in His internal potency and yet has full knowledge of the external energy as well as the internal energy, just as His devotee remains always in a transcendental position, keeping himself in the service of the Lord without becoming attached to the material body. Srila Rupa Goswami says that the devotee who is always engaged in the devotional service of the Lord is always liberated, regardless of his material situation. If it is possible for a devotee to remain transcendental, it is certainly possible for the Supreme Personality of Godhead to remain in His internal potency without being attached to the external potency. There should be no difficulty in understanding this situation. Just as a devotee is never bewildered by his material body, the Lord is never bewildered by the external energy of this material world. A devotee is not hampered by the material body, although he is situated in a physical body that runs according to so many material conditions, just as there are five kinds of air functioning within the body, and so many organs, the hands, legs, tongue, genitals, rectum, etc., all working differently. The spirit soul, the living entity, who is in full knowledge of his position, is always engaged in chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, and is not concerned with the bodily functions. Although the Lord is connected with the material world, He is always situated in His spiritual energy and is always unattached to the functions of the material world. As far as the material body is concerned, there are six waves or symptomatic material conditions: hunger, thirst, lamentation, bewilderment, old age, and death. The liberated soul is never concerned with these six physical interactions. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, being the all-powerful master of all energies, has some connection with the external energy, but He is always free from the interactions of the external energy in the material world. So today's verse, which is on the board,
Yena mahatma yatanam vininita. Tatra yato yam guna saga sangraha. Sa eva manhantu mudayuda swara. Upasthito nyam sharanam kyam ashaye. Yena ahamatma yatanam vininita. Tatra yato yam guna saga sangraha. Sa eva manhantu mudayuda swara. Upasthito nyam sharanam kyam ashaye. Yena ahamatma yatanam vininita. Yena aham atma yatanam vinirmita. Tatra yato yam guna saga sangraha. sa eva mahantu mudayuda swara. Upastito nyam sharanam kamasaye.
Atmanam, resting place of all living entities. Vinirmita was created. Datra by the Supreme Lord. Yata on account of whom. Ayam this. Gunna sarva sangraha. Combination of different material elements. Saha, he, eva, certainly, ma, me, antum, to kill, udayudha, prepared with weapons, swarat, completely independent. Upastita, now present before me. Anyam, other. Sharanam, shelter. Come, unto whom? Asraye, I shall resort to. Translation. The planet Earth continued. My dear Lord, you are the complete conductor of the material creation. You have created this cosmic manifestation and the three material qualities, and therefore you have created me, the planet Earth, the resting place of all living entities. Yet you are always fully independent, my Lord. Now that you are present before me and ready to kill me with your weapons, let me know where I should go to take shelter, and tell me who can give me protection. Please repeat the translation. The planet Earth continued. My dear Lord, you are the complete conductor of the material creation. You have created this cosmic manifestation and the three material qualities. And therefore, you have created me, the planet Earth, the resting place of all living entities. Yet you are always fully independent, my Lord. Now that you are present before me and ready to kill me with your weapons, let me know, where should I go to take shelter? And tell me, who can give me protection? Prabhupada, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki? Prabhupada. The planet Earth herein exhibits the symptoms of full surrender before the Lord. As stated, no one can protect the person whom Krishna is prepared to kill, and no one can kill the person whom Krishna protects. Because the Lord was prepared to kill the planet Earth, there was no one to give protection to her. We are all receiving protection from the Lord, and it is therefore proper that every one of us surrender unto Him. In Bhagavad Gita 18:66, the Lord instructs, Sarvadharmam parityaja mam ekam sharanam raja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mukshayishyami ma shuchaha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reaction. Do not fear. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, my dear Lord, whatever I have, even my mind, the center of all material necessities, namely my home, my body, and whatever I have in connection with this body, I now surrender unto you. You are now completely independent to act however you like. If you like, you can kill me, and if you like, you can save me. In any case, I am your eternal servant, and you have every right to do whatever you like.
Yenamatma yatanam vinirmita tatra yato yanguna sadu sangra sa eva mahantu mudayuda swara upastito nyam sharanam kamashtaye.
The planet Earth continued, my dear Lord, you are the complete conductor of the material creation. You have created this cosmic manifestation and the three material qualities, and therefore you have created me, the planet Earth, the resting place of all living entities. Yet you are always fully independent, my Lord. Now that you are present before me and ready to kill me with your weapons, let me know where I should go to take shelter, and tell me who can give me protection.
Om Ajnanatimirandasya Gyananjala Shalakaya Chakshurun Militamena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitamena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Gadati Swapadantikam Panchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayvacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Vishnupadaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Chaitanya Swami Kiti Namane. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Kiti Namane. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Ashtapadeshwari. Rake Krishna Maroke, Mare Krishna Rake Ke. It is said in this purport that if the Lord desires to protect you, no one can harm you. And if somebody is destined to be killed by the Lord, then nobody can protect you. The theme for this purport specifically is surrender, and as such it is unlimited. There is no extent to how much we can surrender. One can always intensify one's surrender and thus progress in spiritual life. I will make an attempt today to discuss some important points from this purport as well as some related sub-themes. The first understanding is what our actual position is and the need for us to surrender. If someone doesn't see a need to surrender, why would he surrender? The earth in the shape of a cow in this particular pastime is acknowledging her precarious position. This is explained in the purport of chapter 7, text 14. Prabhupada says, "We are all receiving protection from the Lord, and it is therefore proper that every one of us surrender unto Him." This is in the purport to text 30, which is in the board. Prabhupada mentions in this purport to text 30 that the ultimate instruction, the most confidential instruction uttered by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita is in chapter 18, text 66, where Krishna demands actually that Arjuna surrender everything, all his types of worship, all his approaches, all his dharma, abandon them. Just surrender unto me. Ma ekam sharanam. Raja. What is the consequence of that full surrender is also given by Krishna. Krishna says, if you do like this, Arjun, then I will give you full protection. Do not fear. We look at the pastime of Draupadi. Draupadi was in the presence of very powerful bodied Kshatriya men, Maharathis. There is no possibility of her defending any type of attack on her. Yet somehow or the other, she was trying to resist. Dushasan, demon-like character, was trying to strip her naked on the authority of another demon, Duryodhana. Draupadi was trying to resist, holding on to her sari as best as she could. But it was a futile attempt. She was destined for failure. Acknowledging this pitiable, hopeless situation, a helpless condition, Draupadi not only called out to the Lord for assistance with one arm, but she let go of her sari and raised both her arms. This is the price to pay to be delivered from all sinful reactions. This is the price to be paid for fearlessness, full surrender. If we hold on to our attachments, our ideas of dharma, our ideas of protecting ourselves, we cannot expect the full protection of the Lord. In this purport of chapter 18, text 66, Srila Prabhupada quotes a verse from the Hari Bhakti Vilas. This is a very popular verse. Anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya vajanam rakshya titi vishvaso gopitve varanam tatha atmanikshepa kalpanye shadvida sharanagati. Sanatana Goswami explains that the six aspects of surrender to Krishna, of full surrender to Krishna, are number one, accepting things favorable for devotional service; two, rejecting things unfavorable for devotional service; three, believing firmly in the Lord's protection. 4. Feeling exclusively dependent on the mercy of the Lord for one's maintenance. 5. Having no interest separate from that of the Lord. And 6. Always feeling meek and humble before the Lord. This particular verse is also mentioned by Narada Muni in the Narada Bhakti Sutra, text number 27. If we analyze this list, these 6 items, the concept of humility seems to be common in all 6 aspects of full surrender. Narada Muni himself states in this particular verse, this Sutra 27, "The Lord dislikes the proud, but is pleased with the humble." So there's one nice story I heard. There was one king. Unfortunately, he was a very proud king. So this proud king had in his court one court pundit. So daily he will ask the pundit some question, and the pundit would answer, and the king will thus keep himself occupied. One day, however, he asked the pundit a question which sent the pundit reeling. It was a loaded question. "Please don't ask such a question after this class." So he asked the pundit, "My dear Panditji, what is the daily work of God?" So the pundit says, "Well, creation, of course. God creates." "No, he creates once. But my question is, what is the daily work of God?" The pundit says, "Oh, I'll have to research the scriptures and come back with an answer for you." The king became a bit agitated and said, and in a threatening way, "I'll give you 1 week in which to provide an answer to this question." The pundit was disturbed at heart, but he said, "Let me try and research this. What is the daily work of God?" As the week drew to an end, Panditji realized he didn't have an answer. So he decided the consequences of not answering this nasty king will be very nasty for me. So I would rather quietly leave town. So on his way, quietly leaving town, he came across one of his disciples. He was a shepherd, a poor person, dressed in shabby clothes and simple man. He offered his obeisances to his spiritual master and said, "Gurudev, why are you leaving?" "Oh, I have to leave this place. This king is becoming so funny. He's asking questions not in a submissive way. It's not very pleasant, and now he's threatening me. So I'd better leave." "What is the question you tell, Gurudev?" Pandit said, "The question was, what is the daily work of God?" Shepherd said, "This is an easy question." Pandit says, "You know the answer?" "Yes, of course. What is it?" Disciple says, "To explain will be a bit complicated. So rather I personally tell the king." So next morning, bright and early, they appeared in the court of the king. The pundit says, "Your Majesty, I have an answer for your question. But your question is very trivial, so my disciple will answer." So he presented the disciple before the king. The king looked at the shepherd. "Who is this guy? Dressed in rags in my royal assembly?" So he said, "Anyway, what is the answer?" In a very arrogant, proud way. Shepherd said, "Your Majesty, in this situation, you are asking the question and I am answering. Is it not true, according to Vedic injunction, that the teacher should sit higher than the student?" The king looked at the beggar. "This beggar wants to sit on my throne?" He's astonished. Then very grudgingly and very gingerly and very slowly, the king got off his throne and the beggar sat on the throne, the shepherd. As the shepherd sat on his throne, he looked down on the king and said, "Your Majesty, your question is answered." At this point, the king nearly lost it. But anyway, I will explain to you. The daily work of God is to elevate those who are meek and bring down those who are proud. So, in his purport to this Narada Bhakti Sutta, Srila Prabhupada is analyzing this concept of humility. Srila Prabhupada says, humility is pleasing to Krishna and therefore the devotee is humble. I'll repeat that. Humility is pleasing to Krishna and therefore the devotee is humble. If Lord Krishna said he preferred pride, the devotee would be proud. In fact, sometimes the Lord likes his intimate friends to show a kind of transcendental pride and reprimand him. Himya is in capital letters, which means Krishna. So we see this many times. Krishna is associating with the coward boys, they jump on him. "Ah, I beat you. See, now you've got to give me a ride across the forest." They whack him like he's a horse or something. Riding Krishna like a horse. Radharani has the upper hand, chastises Krishna. "Oh, you rascal." Or Mother Yashoda chastises him, binds him up with rope. So in one sense, they are superior to the Lord and Krishna enjoys this. He likes this. Another point to consider, a related point, appears in the 26th verse of 9th chapter of Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is specifically mentioning what he likes to eat. In that purport, Prabhupada says, if one loves someone, one should find out what they like and offer that to him. So specific things which Krishna wants is mentioned. Patram, pushpam, palam, toyam. In the purport to this Narada Bhakti Sutra, it is said by Srila Prabhupada that one should not be proud of borrowed plumes. This statement is repeated in Canto 1, Chapter 15, Text 21, purport. Krishna is no longer with Arjuna. He has his bow. He's the same Arjuna. People used to quiver by the mentioning of his names, but now all of these things are useless without Krishna. So he says that it's like offering butter, clarified butter onto ashes, like trying to sow seeds on barren land. So Prabhupada says we should not be proud of borrowed plumes. All of Arjuna's potency was based on the presence of Krishna. In fact, it's described when Krishna and Arjuna got off the chariot, their chariot immediately burst into flames. Because while that war was going on, so many astras and weapons were striking the chariot, but it was unaffected because of the presence of Krishna. Arjuna says there that everything has become null and void. All of these things that Arjuna mentioned seemingly belong to him. Gandiva bow, given to him as a present by one of the demigods. His strength, his prowess, his fame. But all of these things are God-given. And because they are God-given, the individual who has these talents should never become proud. Don't become proud of borrowed plumes. This point is further elaborated upon in the 5th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, text 2, purport, where Prabhupada is talking about the definition of renunciation. If everything belongs to Krishna, where is the question of renunciation? It's like somebody, this is my example, somebody goes into a bank, he jumps onto a counter, raises his arms and says, "Okay, I give you permission to use my money. Thank you very much," and gets down. People say, "This guy is crazy. It's not his money. He doesn't possess it at any point." So like this, we should not artificially try and renounce what doesn't belong to us. Everything belongs to the Lord. There are several examples in Shastra of Krishna crushing the pride of his devotees. Most exalted devotees themselves get proud. Sometimes this activity is also an arrangement by the yoga maya of the Lord. An example, classic example, is the gopis. Topmost devotees, most exalted, they became proud during the rasa dance that, oh, they only saw that Krishna was dancing with, each gopi thought that Krishna was dancing with her. So individually, but collectively they were all proud. So Krishna does not like pride. So he wanted to smash that pride in them. So in the midst of the rasa dance, Krishna disappeared. And then they were lamenting, oh, Krishna is not here anymore. There's further examples of Lord Brahma being bewildered in terms of how much potency he has as the mystic, as a mystic, and then he was introduced to Krishna's mysticism and he realized, my mysticism is not that great after all. Lord Indra tried to show his tejas by sending floods, rains to inundate Vraja. Krishna, at 7 years old, lifted Govardhan Hill as an umbrella to shelter all the residents of Vrindavan. Lord Shiva also had one very famous disciple named Banasura. This Banasura had 1,000 arms and he was able to work 500 bows and shoot 1,000 arrows simultaneously. Not your ordinary run-of-the-mill Kshatriya. Krishna fought him, cut off 996 of his arms, left 4, just to remind him. To save his devotee, Lord Shiva appeared on the scene. And there began a tremendous fight. Lord Shiva eventually released his ultimate weapon called the Shiva Jwara. This Shiva Jwara is said to destroy by causing incredible heat. Krishna released the Narayan Jwara. And this Narayan Jwara counteracted it by supreme cold. So eventually, this Shiva Jwara was begging for its life, it's a personality. And when it went to Lord Shiva for shelter, Lord Shiva himself, who created this Shiva Jwara, could not give his own creation shelter. So, what did he do? The Shiva Jwara turned to Lord Krishna and glorified him very nicely. And then the Lord, being pleased, released him from his suffering condition. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stipulates humility as one of the constituent ingredients for constantly chanting the holy name of the Lord. What is that? Trinar api suniche na taror api saishnam amani namani deina kirtanaya sada harim. Not only should one be humble, one should tolerate also. One should give respect to others, not with the expectation, how will they honor me, without expecting return. This is very rare in this world. Very rare thing. Everybody is after some honor, some name and fame. What do I look like? How beautiful, how strong, how wise. You may be the wisest on this planet, but you're not the wisest person. Wisest person is Krishna. Therefore he is called Bhagavan. Full possession of all six opulences. Krishna is attracted to the humble. There's the example of Sudama Vipra. They were childhood friends living in the ashram of the guru. And Krishna always remembers his friends. Sudama Vipra did not want to approach Krishna to get relief from his distressed, impoverished condition. His wife, however, seeing the condition of the children who were crying because of hunger, this is extreme poverty. And she did, Krishna book mentions that she did not want to instruct her husband. But still, on behalf of the children, she pleaded to the Lord, please approach your friend. He has so much of opulence. Surely he can give something to help us. And on that request, Krishna went to Dwarka And upon seeing his friend, Krishna ran. Sudama went to Dwarka to meet Krishna, and upon seeing his friend, Krishna ran to embrace him, seated him on his own asana, washed his feet. Others, maidservants and queens, were thinking, what is this? Lord is washing this scruffy looking Brahman's feet. Then they concluded, he must be some very special personality, which was true. In his ecstasy of union with Krishna, Sudama forgot what to ask for. This is the humility of the devotee. His prasadam is not the feast. His prasadam is association with the Lord. Well, associating with prasadam is also associating with the Lord. But in terms of direct associating with katha, associating with darshan, associating with the holy name, that's another type of prasadam. Just as we were leaving the mandir yesterday, we were talking to Hayagriva Prabhu, who was preparing for Tamal Krishna Maharaj's Vyasa Puja, and His Grace Radhisham Prabhu and I and Ganesham Prabhu, Hayagriva Prabhu, were speaking. And Prabhu mentioned about the feast, please come. He said, we've already heard the feast, which was this Bhagavatam lecture given by Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj yesterday. So this is definitely another type of feast for the ears. Sudama was so carried away by being in the presence of Krishna, he forgot to ask for his boon. And on the way home he thought, oh, what to do? What will I tell my wife? And when he got back, he saw unlimited opulence in the form of a palace. Instead of his skinny and scruffy looking wife, one beautiful lady came down the stairs to greet him. It was his wife, but she was well catered for in terms of opulence. So Krishna doesn't forget his friends. There's also the example of the washerman and the florist. On the way to Mathura, Krishna met one washerman. He was a very devoted washerman. He wanted to take care of these clothes specifically for the owner of these clothes. Unfortunately, he did not realize that if Krishna asks you for those clothes, no matter who the owner is, you give. So he presented some philosophical argument that no, these belong to another person, he shouldn't take. They are Kamsa, the king's clothes. So Krishna merely slapped this washerman, and with that slap, he beheaded him. And then him and Balaram and the coward boys decorated themselves very nicely with this opulent cloth of Kamsa and entered Mathura in style. On the way, they met one florist. Let us consider, before we move on to the florist, the mood of this washerman. Very arrogant. Who are you to ask for the king's cloth, you village boys? But as soon as the florist saw Krishna, from a distance, he ran out of his shop, offered pranams to the Lord, washed his feet, welcomed him, made a special garland with the choicest flowers for Krishna Balaram and presented to him. Krishna was extremely pleased. And he asked the florist, what would you like? The florist says, Lord, I only desire never to forget your lotus feet and to always be engaged in your devotional service. So we can safely conclude that it takes humility to surrender. And this is expressed by many of our acharyas in the form of song. One song is mentioned here in this purport. Amijani.
मानस देह गयो जो किछु मो आपिलो तो आपले नंद किशो.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur is offering everything to the Lord. His wife, his possessions, everything. So in conclusion, I'd like to mention two things. Today is the very auspicious appearance day of Rakeshwar Pandit. Rakeshwar Pandit He is known as a great dancer. It is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adilila, chapter 10, text 17 to 20. He is described as an expansion or an incarnation of Aniruddha. It's further said in this set of verses that Vrakeshwara Pandit used to dance for 72 hours at a stretch for the pleasure of Lord Krishna, of Lord Chaitanya. And he desired that he be getting some Gandharvas to sing for him, because then he could sing for that length of time without stopping, and he could dance for that length of time without stopping. Mahaprabhu was so pleased with his service of dancing, he said, "Vrakeshwar, you are like one wing. Verily, if I had another of you, surely I would fly." So this is very beautiful. I'd like to end with some meditation for all of you. I was meditating on this for some time now, and I'm sure that when you meditate, you also have some appreciation. By meditating on things that we should be thankful for, we appreciate them more. So my appreciation was for Sridhar Mayapur. So I was thinking, Sridhar Mayapur is the home of Madhava. What does Madhava mean? Husband of the goddess of fortune. As such, it is the most opulent place in creation. Srimati Radharani has made it that way. There is so much of opulence, so much of wealth in Mayapur. Birds crying and chirping 24 hours a day. No exaggeration, they do, if you listen, all the time. Abundance in the production of flowers and fruit. Other types of wealth we can mention? Deity darshan. These are surely, if not the most beautiful, one of the most beautiful sets of deities in the world. Amazing kirtan. This is kirtan loka. Feasts beyond compare. Also feast loka, possibly a competition there. But I was thinking of one point. That of all the things we have to be grateful for in this Mayapur, the greatest wealth we have as devotees are the Vaishnavas. Because you can honor a feast alone, it won't be the same. You can dance alone, I mean, I don't know, play katas and a drum, maybe with your knees, one arm, it'll never be the same. You can take darshan of the deities yourself, still something missing. And there's no question of Bhagavatam class by yourself. So I was thinking that all of these merciful things are there in Mayapur, but the glue that holds it together are the Vaishnavas. Thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki. So if there's any questions, comments, Krishna Archana Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Guru, the verse that you have quoted from Hari Bhakti Vilas actually has been translated by Bhakti Vinod Thakur in Bengali. Dainya Atmani Vedan Gopritya Varan, and that song, introductory song for the Sharanagati. So my question is, the list of the six items of surrender appears reverse in the song. I mean, in the verse that is written by Parashara, it's the other way around, like first of all accepting things favorable and rejecting things unfavorable. At the end comes Dainya or Atmarikshepa Karpanya. But in this verse, in this song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur uses exactly the reverse order. Can you please explain the reason why?
Well, in terms of the technical reason why that is so, I honestly don't know. But I can give my suggestion of what could be a reason. Is that Krishna consciousness is sweet whichever part of Krishna consciousness you take first. It's like a ras malai. Wherever you bite, it is sweet. You may start on this end, on that end, or the middle, still sweet. So all those concepts which are included in both those songs are equally sweet. But in terms of the technical reasons why it is so, some of our scholars in the classroom, in the class, there are many I can see, can offer a suggestion why that is so. Any idea? Do you have an idea, Krishna Arjun Prabhu? I don't know, honestly. But I can find out and tell you. Is that okay? Yes, Prabhu.
Hey Krishna. Thank you for a nice class, Roji. This is regarding the pride, because there is pride of a conditioned soul and there is pride of the gopis you mentioned, which was smashed by the Krishna. So what is the difference of, you know, because is it pride the same for all the conditions, along with, like, considering gopis' case, Krishna smashed the pride and disappeared suddenly, and Krishna sometimes, you know, smashes the pride of the what is that difference between the two pride?
Thank you, Prabhu. In the case of intimate associates of the Lord, like the gopis, like, the question was, what's the difference between transcendental pride and pride generally, the general pride, I should say. That's a very good question. When it comes to transcendental pride, simply by that statement, transcendental pride, is not transcendental. In the purport to the previous verse, not this verse, text 29, Prabhupada is mentioning that Krishna is transcendental to the material energy. He quotes 9:10, Maya Dakshana. Okay, that, like, Krishna is supervising material energy. He is not under the material energy, he creates and he supervises under his supervision. So Krishna does not come under control of his material energy, although he creates it. Prabhupada mentions in the purport to 29 that the devotee of the Lord also is transcendental. So what to speak of the gopis, what to speak of Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Indra, all of that is being enacted by the yoga maya of the Lord. When the gopis feel pride, it's not common pride like we feel. When they feel envy, it's not envy like we feel. And the pride is always connected to Krishna. I'm proud that I'm dancing with Krishna. Not that I'm proud of my dancing for my sake. Not that I'm proud with my knowledge for my sake. Not that I'm proud of my singing for my sake. I am proud that I'm dancing with Krishna because I have this most worshipable Lord with me. All glories to Him, I can serve Him more. When there's envy between gopis, it's not that the gopi is thinking, I am the best. She's thinking, she's not thinking that envious in terms of that gopi is with Krishna and be jealous of that gopi so that she could be with Krishna. She's thinking that gopi is so fortunate. I wish I could serve like that. I wish I could be like that. You see, when it comes to transcendental envy and pride, they exist on a level that's beyond our understanding because Krishna is directly hands-on. He leaves the rest of us to be handled by His Mahamaya. And on Mahamaya, we feel we become overcome. That's why we need the help of somebody who is not overcome. This is mentioned in the purport of 7:14. What is that? Prabhupada says, a bound cannot help the bound. Prabhupada defines the word gunna, gunna mane, bound up, tied. Guna means rope. Like there's three modes, there's three ropes tied together. They're very difficult to come out of this rope. So Prabhupada says that somebody who's bound cannot help somebody who's bound. So it takes somebody who's unbound. Prabhupada mentions Krishna and Krishna's representative, which is the bona fide spiritual master. Like this. So we are covered and we are bound. We need the assistance of Krishna. How to get the assistance of Krishna? Mam eva ye prapadyate. You surrender to Krishna. And that which is so difficult to overcome, you can easily cross over it. Sometimes we find, out of our humility, we may ask this question, how do I deal with pride? Generally, a devotee who is asking this question is cultivating humility. But out of his humility, he asks the question, how can you deal with pride? This is the answer. Mam eva ye prapadyante. You cannot deal with pride because that quality of pride is being